You're listening to Intermezzo on 90.7 KRWG. I'm Leora Zeitlin. Bill Hastings has performed in more than 40 musicals on Broadway and elsewhere, also on national touring productions. He's choreographed more than 40 productions here in Europe and in Asia. And he's a master teacher. His work has been presented in a number of places, including, I noticed, the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in Massachusetts. And during his professional career, he's had the privilege to work with many wonderful stars, including Bob Fosse, who choreographed the dance Steam Heat, Michael Bennett, most famous, I guess, for Chorus Line, Ron Field, Cabaret, Scott Salmon, who did La Cage aux Folles, as I remember, and also Fosse. And it is my great pleasure to welcome Bill Hastings into our KRWG studios, and also Monique Foster, director of the Las Cruces Academy of Music and Dance. Welcome to you both.
Okay, hello. Thank you very much.
Bill Hastings, you must have been quite young when you got to work with Bob Fosse, but one of America's greatest choreographers, and so unique. As soon as you see a Bob Fosse dance, you know who choreographed it. So tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Well, for me, it was an incredible experience. I first started on Broadway when I was 30. As I started dancing when I was 23, I started dancing very late. So I first met Mr. Fosse when I was about 30, 31 years of age. And I had auditioned for the Broadway show Bob Fosse's Dancin', which was running at that time, and ran subsequently for 4.5 years on Broadway. Turned out to be his biggest money-making musical on Broadway. But that was my first experience with him. And my first time in a rehearsal hall with him was really incredible and unique, because I was in total awe of the man to begin with. And after that, I subsequently worked for him 3 other times, and also was involved with the show Fosse, which was created, it was the Tony Award winning show in 1999, which was a show about his work primarily. So I got to help with that for 5.5 years as well. So
was he as charming and dynamic off stage as he was on stage?
I found him so. A lot of people didn't. I found him so, and it did many others, however, as well. He was charming. He was very accessible. The thing for me, because of my being in awe of him all the time, I always had a very difficult time approaching him. And I know the first day that I rehearsed with him, we were rehearsing a number that was in the show Dance, and he had called the company together into a rehearsal hall in New York. And so I was standing off to the side trying to do the best I could. There was 15 dancers working in the room with him. It came time for lunch break. Everyone headed out their different directions. I went to the dressing room, changed clothes, and was walking back down the hall towards the rehearsal hall to pick up my stuff, and coming towards me, lo and behold, was Bob Fosse. And although I'd been in a room with him all day long, I had not spoken directly to him. And I'm realizing in my head, oh my, now I'm going to have to say something. And he was so kind. As we passed in the hall, we acknowledged each other, and we walked on. And a couple of seconds later, from behind me, I hear his voice say, "Bill." And I turn around and say, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Would you like to go have lunch?" And I, of course, I didn't think very long about that. I said, "Yes, of course I will." So that was my first personal experience with him. I got to have lunch with him and Gwen Verdon at that time, who was also working on the show, and several other people who were involved with the show at that time.
An unbelievable dancer. I just watched a few weeks ago with my daughter, Damn Yankees, and it's Gwen Verdon.
Yes, it is.
I mean, her body's like rubber.
Yes.
It's just amazing to see her. She was one of his, I guess, one of his wives.
She was his last wife, and they were still married. They never divorced. Although he was known to have dated other people for a long time
after that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit. You just said something that was so intriguing to me. You didn't start dancing till you were 23.
Yes,
that has
correct.
To be a record in the annals of dance history.
Do you know, I have run across other people that started at a later time in life as well. I was very fortunate. I was talking to Monique last night about this, because we're talking a lot about dance teachers and the importance of what a dance teacher means to a young student or an older student, to any student that they are with in a classroom, and considering the intensity of a dance class and what takes place there, and how important my first teacher was. And here I am, a 23-year-old male, taking class all of a sudden. I was very interested in theater and potentially doing musicals and so forth. And my first teacher was a ballet teacher And evidently he saw something in me that even at my age of 23, he thought, well, there's potential here for something to happen. But his generosity, his kindness, and the love of his art, which exuded from him, was extraordinary, extremely influential on me, and even at 23. And he guided me, he mentored me, and educated me not only in dance steps, but in the art of dance, the world of theater. He educated me on the history of theater and of dance and enlightened me. So I understood from him later on how important the art of teaching really is.
But had you danced at all before that?
Well, yes. I grew up in a very musical family, and my dancing was social in context. But yes, I danced in that sense. I was a percussionist. That was my original love. Huh. Self-trained percussionist. I had planned on becoming an orchestral percussionist. I went into college on a full music scholarship for percussion. I was really good at it, actually. I can't hit a drumstick to save my head, to save my soul now, but I did have musical interest, certainly. And actually, I changed schools and started into doing some theater at a suggestion of several friends in the college where I was going at the time, fell in love with that. And subsequently, it all started kind of falling together after a while. But
Okay, now you've performed in many Broadway and other shows. You've choreographed, you've directed, and you've also produced your own pieces and dance work. So, and you're a master teacher. So in that whole range of activities, do you like to keep up with all of them, or are there certain ones that you prefer to focus on?
Well, there's a connecting thread for all of them for me, I've discovered, and particularly the older I get and look back on all of it, and that has been the teaching aspect. As a choreographer and even as a performer, but as also a director, certainly, as a producer and whatever, you're in a sense, you're in an act of teaching. There's a sense of communication going on there that hopefully is enlightening, and involves you and those around you in a certain way that's really creative and wonderful, and as does teaching. So I keep finding that as the thread for me. I always taught, even from when I first started dancing, I started teaching within a year of that time. Of course, not well, I'm sure, not very much, because I didn't know very much. But I honored that in such a way, and I find great joy in the act of sharing information with other people.
And now when you're teaching dance, are you mainly focused on theatrical stage dancing, Broadway kind of dancing, or is it?
To a certain extent. I try to keep it a little bit broader than that. And I believe that, of course, most commercial dancing does lend itself in that. Jazz dancing particularly, the obvious outlet for jazz dancing is theater and musicals. But also, I'm very much into the modern dance world. I enjoy that. But also, you look at the modern dance world, and there's an extraordinary amount of theatricality in that. So it is the theater aspect that I enjoy a great deal about all of that.
Yeah, there's sort of an equivalent, just in the way music is now, there's all this crossover music between jazz, classical, world, folk. There's no, the divisions between ballet and jazz and acrobatics have really blurred.
Yes, it's completely blurred. It's a huge amalgam of all sorts of things now. And in that essence, you kind of think, well, it's kind of typically American in the way that we kind of are. Forgive me, but the melting pot of so many things. And music and art certainly is one of them. And you see that a great deal in our art form here. But certainly in Europe and now all over the world, that idea of ballet companies dancing to really unique, wonderful, modern, if you will, or contemporary music or rock and roll music or whatever is more the norm now. You know, so it's really exciting.
I want to bring Monique Foster into this conversation as well, who brought you here to Las Cruces. I know you've had for a while in Alamogordo the Academy of Music and Dance, and recently opened one here in Las Cruces.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your academy and also how you came to bring Bill Hastings to teach this summer.
Well, first, I still do have the Academy of Ballet in Alamogordo. I've been over there for 12 years, and I this year decided to expand, and just in February, we started the Las Cruces School of Dance and Music. And this school, I really wanted to build something bigger, something where it's like a more of a dance mecca where people might want to come here to study. And so I was thinking about this, and I was in New York for 10 years, and I studied with Bill for many years. And I thought, well, I need to bring people in that are, you know, a different level, you know, like just, and Bill like came to my head first because he just had such a huge impact on me when I was studying with him. And I thought, you know, he brings an excitement to the classroom that I've never experienced anywhere else. And I thought, well, there's no way he would come to Las Cruces. And so I sent an email to him. I found him online and I sent an email. I was like, how could I get you here? And he sent an email back. He said, I'd love to come. And I was like, wow, I can't believe it. Bill Hastings is going to come. So here he is.
And tell us what kind of classes you're offering at the Academy.
We have ballet, jazz, tap, and hip-hop. We also have music classes. I expanded my school over here to be the School of Music and Dance. I think they feed each other quite well. My school in Alamogordo is just ballet, jazz, and tap. But, you know, we're trying to do a little bit more. I like eventually like to combine them, like have our music students playing for our dancers. And when we perform, I think that would be a fun thing to do. And that's where I'm headed, hopefully.
Wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about what you do in a typical class, Bill Hastings. And I also have another question about, as a dancer, I mean, musicians have to practice every day. Dancers have to practice every day. So when you're...
Ideally. Yes.
Ideally, right. So when you're on the road, is that possible?
Do you know the great thing about certain physical things that we do now, Pilates and yoga and things of that nature? It allows for a great deal of cross-training for dancers, which is wonderful. And that really has developed more and more, obviously, in the last 10, 15, 20 years or so. And dancers really take advantage of that opportunity. If you're on tour, for example, it's very easy. A lot of dancers, if they're in a place for a while, will join a gym. Or they already have their Pilates or yoga practice that they are already involved in, which helps to keep them in shape to a certain extent. Most dancers, of course, do want to take a dance class. Some will get themselves their own dance exercises when they're out traveling about. But you find a way to cross-train if you can't actually dance. But yes, ideally, you want to be able to do something every day if you can to keep your body in shape and focused and your mind sharp as well. In a class, I've tried to do that as well. I've tried to encourage my students, you know, the importance of the overall development, first of all, that dancing is not just a physical activity. It's also a mental, emotional activity. It's something that involves all of you. And the more you understand and know about life and can bring into the classroom with you, the better off you're going to be.
Hmm. So, okay, we're standing in our lines in a class, and you've just walked in as a teacher. So just really...
First thing I say is 5, 6, 7, 8, and we go from there.
Okay. It's totally immediate.
The first thing I do is I have the opportunity to teach in a lot of different places, and most of which are new to me. And every time you step into a public classroom, and like in New York City, for example, and you're teaching one of the large studios there, the student body is not the same in every class. It's not like Monique's school, in which she's allowed to have, because she has a certain enrollment, and kids are going to be coming, students coming at a certain time. These classes fluctuate a lot. So usually what I start off doing is I have everyone introduce themselves to someone in the room they don't know. I say to them, first of all, I said, we're a bunch of adults, albeit we're adults, but we're all standing basically in tights and leotards or whatever we are in a room together, perhaps many of us for the first time together, and looking at ourselves in the mirror. I said, so already we're all slightly in a different place, maybe of intimidation or whatever. So let's relax a little bit and get to know each other. So that's the first thing I do is make it suddenly really human, you know, that we're all here together on a human level. You know, we're all going to have a great time, perhaps, or not, but we're going to, it's a human event that we're having here. So that's the first thing I try to do.
Hmm, wonderful. And do you teach choreography as well?
Yes. In fact, I don't teach the art of choreography. I do do some of my work and also some of Mr. Fossey's and now some of Mr. Cole's work, Jack Cole's work, and that's another long story. Perhaps I can get in with you at a different time. But yes, right now, for example, at the studio, at Monique's studio, we are working on an example of some choreography, Mr. Fossey's, from his show Dancin', from a number called Crunchy Granola, and it was the opening number of the show. And it's extraordinary because I have the opportunity to pass on from that generation, that extraordinary generation of choreographers and teachers and dancers such as Bob Fosse, Gwen Verdon, And I'm the vehicle, if you will, very humbly so, to this next generation. So I had the opportunity of offering them authentic, real Broadway work that was done by professional Broadway dancers, created by a professional Broadway choreographer, honored with a Tony Award, etc., and bring it into the classroom. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, having worked with him as long as I did, and also in the show Fosse, which was about his work, I know a little bit about where the work is coming from. I know what to say about it. It's not just about the steps. There's a lot of wonderful things such as poetry and metaphor that he would use in the rehearsal of these numbers that I hope broadens the insight of the student as to what's going on with this particular number, that it's not just for entertainment only, but it's also an art form that they're being handed. So that's a huge responsibility as a teacher. You're that kind of conduit often from one generation to the next. And as you are aware, that's the way this art form is passed down. It's word of mouth to ear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with music as well, teacher to student.
One on one.
Yes, absolutely. We've just got a couple of minutes left. And I'm just curious, with all the shows that you've directed and choreographed and been in, is there any one or two that really stand out, maybe other than the Fosse ones, which I'm sure were highlights?
Well, I have to say, I don't mean this to sound the way it does, but often when you're doing a show, more times than not, if you're really invested in that moment. Dancers and performers take on shows, they are hired into shows already knowing in their mind that they're going to be leaving them. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of our business. And so there's a tendency to take that show on into your heart in such a way that becomes very personal. One show that I had the opportunity of being in was a show called Rags on Broadway that did not last but four nights once we finally opened it. But getting it there was one of the most extraordinary experiences I possibly could ever have imagined. So there's a love affair with many of the shows for different reasons.
That's a very touching, that it only lasted 4 days, but it was so important. We're coming at the end of the show. I'm sorry I didn't have more time with you, but thank you both so much. Monique Foster from the Las Cruces Academy of Music and Dance and Bill Hastings here from New York. It's been a pleasure talking with you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.